This morning on WCHL, the North Carolina House budget doesn't look all bad, according to Orange County school districts.
I think it's ambitious on the part of the state. However, if it means that we are going to receive more lottery money, then I think that's a great thing.
The Orange County Five showed up for their court hearing yesterday, but where was the judge?
It turns out that the assistant district attorney did not coordinate schedules very well.
And the NNO's lead investigative reporter for the UNC academic scandal says he needs more evidence before clearing the men's basketball team in his mind. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Bubba Cunningham updates his statement on Rashad McCants' allegations and Roy Williams' follow-up. And
Jim Hebner's interview with Dan Kane is both informative and flawed.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL, 74 degrees, partly sunny all day. Showers and thunderstorms likely, particularly late in the day. 60% chance of rain, high today in the low 90s, so a really hot, muggy day on the way. Chairpersons for both the Orange County School System and the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System had some words of praise for the North Carolina House of Representatives budget released yesterday. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
The House budget is silent on the tenure piece of things, and so I think that's probably a great thing.
That's Orange County Board of Education Chair Donna Coffey reacting to what she's heard so far about the House budget released Tuesday. Regarding education, the $21 billion budget would offer teachers 5% raises, on average, without requiring them to give up tenure. The proposed Senate budget offers teachers an 11% raise, but only if they agree to give up tenure. According to the House plan, the raises would be funded by expected higher revenues from the North Carolina Education Lottery. Here's Coffey.
I think it's ambitious on the part of the state. However, if it means that we are going to receive more lottery money, then I think that's a great thing, because in the past, the state has wanted to either use our lottery money for something other than education or not fully fund the lottery.
Coffey did not embrace the lottery component without reservation.
I think, however, it's a short-sighted plan, because I'm not sure that those would be recurring revenues that would fall over into the future years.
Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education Chair Jamesetta Bedford was even more dismissive of that idea.
They think lottery revenues is going to fund this? What a joke.
Still, Bedford says that she, too, is encouraged by some of the things she's hearing.
The House proposal for teacher raises is much more reasonable. It would help us with recruiting and retention. And the idea that they don't have to give up their tenure is also very promising.
Bedford said she's especially glad there's no mention of cutting teachers' assistants in the House budget, whereas the Senate budget would cut up to 7,400 teachers' assistants statewide.
We need jobs and we need them in the classroom to make a big difference in supporting students and activities so that the certified teachers can really teach.
Coffey had this to say about the Senate budget.
I think the Senate plan on many, many levels, including education, was not a good one.
WRAL reports that Speaker Tom Tillis expects the House and Senate to work out differences between their two budget plans by the end of next week. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
You've heard about the Orange County Five. Four members of the so-called Orange County Five, a group of elected officials arrested during a Moral Monday protest at the General Assembly in June of last year, showed up in Wake County District Court yesterday for an administrative hearing on trespassing charges. It's been a long time coming. Well, the problem was the judge didn't show up. They were there, but the judge nowhere to be found. Here's one of the defendants, Carborough Alderman Damon Siles, speaking with WCHL yesterday about what happened.
It turns out that the assistant district attorney did not coordinate schedules very well today, and so the judge apparently didn't know that he needed to be there. So it was a little frustrating, because it was the DA's office that insisted that we appear at this routine administrative hearing in the first place, which is not ordinary.
Fortunately, they found another judge, and the pleas of no contest were entered. The goal for the defendants in the first place was to plead no contest and move the cases on to Superior Court for trial by jury. The Orange County Five includes former Carborough mayor and now Register of Deeds-elect Mark Chilton, Carborough Alderman Damon Siles, Michelle Johnson, and Sammy Slade, and Chapel Hill Town Council member Donna Bell. all showed up in Wake County District Court yesterday, except Mark Chilton, who was unable to appear. Attorney for the Orange County 5, Mark Dornison, who's also an Orange County Commissioner representing District 1, says the defense will be based on an article in the North Carolina Constitution.
North Carolina's Constitution is actually much more specific than the U.S. Constitution on the issue of the right to assembly. And Article 1, Section 12 of the North Carolina Constitution says the people have a right to assemble together, to consult for their common good, to instruct their representatives, and to apply to the General Assembly for redress of grievances.
Now, a trial is not going to happen anytime soon. The administrative hearing in Superior Court set for the 7th of July will also be fairly routine, according to Mark Dorison. The News and Observer's lead investigative reporter for the academic scandal at UNC, Dan Kane, says clearing the men's basketball team and head coach Roy Williams of involvement will take more than the words of the players and the coach.
I would like to talk to the players, okay? I mean, it's just that simple. Let's talk to the players. Let's ask them, how many classes were you in that did not meet? And how did you get in those classes? And what were you told that you were supposed to do for those classes? And who did you talk to within the athletic department about these classes?
Kane says he's attempted to get more questions answered directly from Coach Williams as well, but hasn't been given the opportunity to talk with him. He says while the interview this weekend with Jay Billis on ESPN allowed everyone to hear directly from the coach, he'd rather see someone who's used to investigative reporting rather than Billis lead that discussion.
He's a very bright, very knowledgeable, very sharp guy. He's been critical of the NCAA. But having said that, I would have liked for, you know, somebody who's spent a lot of time in journalism, doing investigative reporting, handling that interview. Just because investigative reporters, they tend to focus on the details, have people kind of walk through the process, and tend to get a richer explanation as to what happened.
Kane has been regarded as being very tough on UNC, but that hasn't slowed him down.
I'm just doing my job. It's that simple. I'm trying to go where the facts lead. Dealing with a very difficult federal law that makes it almost impossible to get this information, and I'll keep doing it. I'll just keep trying to get at the facts and try to talk to people who are have information, and hopefully we'll figure this all out, because the University of North Carolina, I mean it's a great university. It's something for people of the state to be proud of.
In a special interview with WCHL's Jim Hebner, Kane offers his interpretation in the Rashad McCants interview with ESPN, in which McCants said tutors wrote papers for him and he remained eligible only because of paper classes that required no attendance, and that his coaches, including Roy Williams, were fully aware of what was happening. You can hear the interview in its entirety on our website, chapelboro.com. Meanwhile, UNC Chancellor Carol Folt released a statement in an email yesterday to the Carolina community, addressing the university's devotion to investigating and resolving allegations of academic irregularities. The email was sent in the wake of continued allegations against the university's African American Studies Department, in which former Tar Heel basketball star Rashad McCants claimed to have taken bogus classes in order to uphold his athletic eligibility during the 2004-2005 UNC basketball championship season. McCants, of course, went public with his claims in an interview on ESPN's Outside the Lines program, which aired last Friday afternoon. Chancellor Folt informed that she hired former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein earlier this year to conduct an investigation into the athletic and academic issues of paper classes, and she ensured the process is still going on. And here's a quote from that email statement from the chancellor. It is clear that our community cares deeply about these issues, and I want to assure you that we're doing our best to resolve remaining questions. I believe we have a responsibility to our students, faculty, staff, alumni, and university community at large to ensure that we get this right and to empower Mr. Weinstein to investigate fully, thoughtfully, and without any interference. Chapel Hill developer Roger Perry says the town has to strike while the iron is hot and not miss great tax growth opportunities with its new development sites.
Time and time again, we have rejected. I mean, for example, at Hobie Creek, we have the ability to bring a large retailer to town. And to date, the town has not shown the willingness to accept, 100,000-foot-plus retailer. But they'll come. They want to be here very much. They'll definitely come.
Perry says the town should be welcoming commercial development with open arms, and if it does, the tax burden on property owners will begin to subside. Perry made those comments in a WCHL News special with Jim Hebner. Stay tuned at 8:30 this morning. In about 15 minutes, we'll bring you the second part of their four-part conversation. And in other news this morning, autism advocates want the North Carolina Senate to sign off on a measure to require state-regulated insurance companies to cover therapy for autism. The group gathered at the state legislature yesterday to call on lawmakers to approve a bill to extend health insurance coverage for applied behavior analysis, a treatment they and doctors say significantly improves autistic behaviors. The coverage would pay up to $36,000 for treatments for children who are diagnosed with autism by the time they turn 8 years old. The bill would allow small businesses to opt out if their health insurance costs increased 1% or more. The House passed the bill last year. 37 other states have similar laws on health coverage for autism treatment. A federal judge says a lawsuit accusing Duke Energy coal ash pits of polluting a lake near Wilmington can move forward. The Southern Environmental Law Center filed a lawsuit last year on behalf of environmental groups saying the toxic waste was polluting Sutton Lake, not far from Wilmington, and violating the Federal Clean Water Act. Duke Energy sought to dismiss the case, saying the groups didn't have a role because a state environmental agency ordered enforcement action. Federal Judge Louise Flanagan said Monday the state's enforcement action dealt with groundwater violations, but Sutton Lake is a public waterway and therefore subject to the provisions of the federal law. The ruling allows environmental groups to request internal Duke Energy documents. Duke spokeswoman Erin Culbertson said the company will vigorously defend the litigation. WCHL News Time, 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Dickey's Barbecue Pits. Well, not a lot of serious problems this morning. Some of the usual congestion out on I-40, particularly out near the park and certainly around some of the school zones this morning. But nothing really out of the ordinary. If you spot something that we're not reporting, you can call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. Talk directly with Rand Northam, or you can tweet us at WCHL. However you decide to communicate, please do that safely. And you can become a WCHL Road Warrior. Dickey's Barbecue Pit in Durham, next to New Hope Commons on the Chapel Hill side of Durham. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickeys.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 74 degrees, partly sunny, showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Our high today in the low 90s, but 93 should be our high. Chance of rain, 60%. And that 60% chance of rain will continue through tonight. Mostly clouds, obviously, with the overnight low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms, and the high tomorrow in the middle 80s. That'll continue through tomorrow night with a 50% chance of more rain, low in the upper 60s again. And then on Friday, our high in the middle 80s, still a 50-50 chance of rain. So, big chance of rain over the next 3 days.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
WCHL News Around Town. Head to the Orange County Public Library this summer for a 22-piece exhibition by mixed media artist Marnie Bloom, on display now through August 1st. Bloom's work examines the desire for connection, the reality of separation, and the undying hope of the human spirit. She lives in Wake Forest. The Orange County Public Library is located on Margaret Lane in downtown Hillsboro. And Phillips Middle School celebrated its 50th anniversary last month with the unveiling of a permanent metal sculpture designed by a Phillips Middle School student. Eighth grader Tiffany Jackson designed the sculpture, which was then built by sculptor Mark Elliott. Jackson submitted her design as part of a town-sponsored program called Heavy Metal, a collaboration between Elliott, photographer Barbara Tyroler, visual arts teacher Angela Green, and 27 eighth-grade art students. The sculpture was unveiled on May 27th in the front car circle of Phillips Middle School. WCHL News Time, 8:19. WCHL Championship Sports, North Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham says curious fans ought to be patient while an investigator conducts his probe into alleged academic misconduct at the school. Cunningham issued a statement yesterday, 4 days after former Carolina basketball star Rashad McCants levied allegations of academic wrongdoing that drew harsh denials from Coach Roy Williams as well as other players on the school's 2005 national championship team. Here's part of Bubba Cunningham's statement. Since Friday, there have been conversations inside and outside the Carolina community about Roy Williams and Carolina basketball. I am proud to see the outpouring of support from former players and the basketball community at large, which reinforces the respect, integrity, and care of student-athletes that Coach Williams has shown throughout his career. Current and former players from across the nation have told me that Coach Williams and his staff have always placed a priority on self-accountability inside the classroom. I have witnessed this myself. Everyone here at Carolina wants to know all we can about past academic and athletic anomalies, but speculation and innuendo should not replace the independent investigation currently being conducted by former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein. We must allow his work to be complete and thorough, end quote. That is from Bubba Cunningham's statement released yesterday in an email. The University of North Carolina track and field teams are sending 8 student-athletes to the NCAA Outdoor Championships going on starting today out in Eugene, Oregon. We are excited to be at historic Haywood Field, North Carolina head coach Harless Metters said yesterday. He said, making it there is quite an accomplishment for this group, especially since there's only one senior in the group, so a very young team for Carolina. The San Antonio Spurs have a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals following an incredible shooting performance last night in the first half in a 111-92 blowout over the Heat in Miami. Spurs made 19 of their first 21 shots. They couldn't miss and fired at a 76% clip in the best shooting half in NBA Finals history. Kawhi Leonard hit his first 6 shots in the game while scoring 18 of his career-high 29 points. Leonard had been held to just 18 points over the first 2 games in that series. Danny Green also had a strong first half, scoring 13 points on 6 of 6 from the floor. Danny Green, known as a 3-point specialist, but those were not threes. And Danny Green had a good night. San Antonio also was 7 of 10 from 3-point range and taking a 71-50 lead in the halftime. 71-50 at halftime in Miami. Green and Parker both finished with 15 points. Tim Duncan added 14 points to go along with a team-high 6 rebounds. The Heat eventually went on a 10-0 run late in the third quarter. You knew the run would come somewhere. They pulled within 81-74, but couldn't get closer the rest of the way. Miami ended a playoff team record 11-game home winning streak that started with a loss to the Spurs in Game 1 of last year's NBA Finals. Dwayne Wade helped the Heat close the gap by scoring 16 of his 22 points in the second half. However, LeBron James also finished with 22 points, but just 6 of those coming after halftime. Rashard Lewis was the only other Heat starter to score in double digits, providing 14 points. Game 4 comes up Thursday night in Miami, and again, San Antonio up 2-1 in that NBA championship series. It's 8:22.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Jim Hevner's interview with Dan Kane is both informative and flawed. This is Archansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Kudos to WCHL President Jim Hevner for getting the News and Observer's Dan Kane on the air for a prolonged interview this week. Kane does not come across as the muckraking investigative reporter bent on putting UNC Athletics out of business. Just a reporter, as he allows, who is doing his job. But Kane is also very naive and clearly wrong about some things. He ends the interview by asking, what good does that do? Answering his own question about UNC having a problem and pretending it doesn't exist. That's as far from the truth as you can get, Dan. Because Kane cannot get all the information he wants, some of it privileged and federally protected, that means Carolina is sticking its collective head in the sand. How many culpable parties have already been fired? How many reforms instituted and publicized by UNC? The latest internal probe commissioned is by former Fed Ken Weinstein, whose report is due by the end of the summer. If Weinstein does not come through with all of the answers Kane wants, does that mean UNC is whitewashing something that never existed? Hevner asked Kane whether it's virtuous to clean up a problem that you haven't covered in your own family or in your business or your university. Kane doesn't seem to think so unless the whole bloody mess is laid out in front of the public. Even he must realize there are myriad reasons why an institution like Carolina would fight not to have its dirty laundry exposed. Sure, Dan, athletes are going to agree to talk to you on the record and turn over all their transcripts. How about asking NC State to do that? And if they agree, maybe UNC will do it too. Kane also supposes this story will come to its natural ending if all his questions are answered. But that's naive, too. This isn't a case of a politician being exposed, fined, and sent to jail, or a governor's wife being fired for getting five times the money she should have received for teaching a course, or any criminal being charged and having his day in court, found innocent or guilty. Even if Kane gets every answer he is seeking, which will never happen, his next angle will be, now, what is UNC going to do about it? Which athletes will have their degrees revoked? Which banners will be pulled down? What other employees or coaches will get fired? That's why this story has no natural ending. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Get ready for a moonshine tasting at the Carolina Inn. Join us Saturday, June 14th from 5 to 7 p.m. to sample a variety of North Carolina-made moonshine while enjoying culinary delights. Meet our featured guest moonshiner, Wayne Nix, cast member of Moonshiners, featured on the Discovery Channel. One of Wayne's personal stills will be on display for you to view. Visit CarolinaInn.com for more information. And come get your moonshine on!
Roll, roll, roll your cart gently to the street. Blue cart for recycling, that is really neat.
This is Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt.
And this is Mayor Lydia Lavelle.
And this is Mayor Tom Stevens. And we're reminding you to start using your blue recycling cart the week of June 30th. Keep using your bins until then, and you can recycle them in your cart.
Call Orange County Solid Waste 919-968-2788 or email recycling@orangecountync.gov.
Welcome to AT&T. Can I help you?
I want to get a Father's Day gift for my dad. He likes sports.
Oh, and saving money. Well, AT&T's best ever pricing for families includes four lines of service for $160 a month. So the whole family gets unlimited talk and text and 10 gigabytes of data to share, all with the nation's most reliable 4G LTE network. That's a great deal. There are even plans for up to 10 lines.
Awesome. See, honey? We can share pictures and movies with dad.
And dad can shout at his phone when he's watching sports.
Oh, he's just cheering, honey.
You don't cheer at those kind of words, Mom.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Get the new curved LG G Flex smartphone with 6-inch HD screen for zero down and no activation fee with AT&T Next. Visit store or att.com for details.
Pricing for mobile share value service on four smartphones with no annual service contract. AT&T Next device charges extra and require qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Tax due at sale. Reliability based on nationwide carriers 4G LTE. Other charges and restrictions apply.
Hey, speaking of submitting photos, we ask you to send us some photos of you and your dad or father figure in your life to Chapelboro's Facebook page, and Dad can win something really special as an observance of Father's Day. We've extended the deadline to Sunday, so you have until this Sunday, Father's Day, to submit your photographs. Send them to Chapelboro's Facebook page. Once again, Dad can get a weekend camping rental from Townsend Bertram & Company in Carrboro and more, and a special way for you to say thanks to your dad for all he's meant to you. Again, give us those photos. Send us the photos. It will be really interesting to look at those, and we'll tell you who the winner is later on. But submit those photos, Chapelboro's Facebook page. 827 at WCHL. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, part two of Jim Hebner's four-part interview with Roger Perry. That is on the way.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Lisi Guthridge, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Lisi had to say.
Bill wasn't sure about moving to the Cedars, and one reason was that he wanted our golden retriever, Maggie, to be comfortable. But the Cedars is very dog-friendly, with lots of dogs and dog walkers who go by our cottage and visit with her. The mailman even stops and gives her a treat. Once we needed to take her to the vet, and we're having trouble getting her in the car, so we just called security, and people were there in a minute to help. In fact, help with anything is only a phone call away. On another note, Glenn O'Neill does a great job with the food. We always loved his restaurants, and we're so glad he's here. It makes entertaining guests here for dinner very easy. Bill didn't really want to move from the house we built and come to the Cedars, but we are all so glad we did. Even Maggie loves it.
Thanks, Lisey. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial positions, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL.
Well, it's going to be a hot and muggy day, and our weather forecast is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. It is 74 degrees right now. It's warmed up quite a bit already this morning from 71. Partly sunny today. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. High today in the low 90s. It's going to be muggy. Lots of moisture in the air. 60% chance of rain, not only today, but that will go all the way through tonight as well. Our overnight low in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, more of the same. 50-50 chance for showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, and the high tomorrow about 85, so at least the temperatures are going to back off just a little bit. Grimble Jewelers has that engagement ring for you. Been dropped. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Go see Berkeley Grimble today at Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelboro.com. There's an app for that.
Eric Cantor, after the numbers came in last night's Virginia primary, he lost by an 11% margin to David Bratt, a Republican who was backed by the Tea Party. Cantor had outspent Bratt by 40-1, and he still lost. CBS News chief Washington correspondent is Bob Schieffer.
What this is about is the deep and widening divide in the Republican Party, and it is still deep, and it is wider than we had expected.
Now with Eric Cantor, the number two man in the House, exiting.
It's going to be very, very difficult now for Speaker Boehner. Now, I think you'll probably see a very conservative person run now for Eric Cantor's place in the Republican leader in the House. They may even try to just take on Boehner himself.
With this primary upset in Virginia, Bob Schieffer says immigration reform will likely take a hit on Capitol Hill.
It was already dead, but I think it's even deader.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to Ron Stutz.
74 degrees in Chapel Hill, a really hot and muggy day today. High today in the low 90s and a 60% chance of rain. Chapel Hill's tax rate. City, county, and school taxes support the city schools. Free local buses and social services at the highest rate in North Carolina. Local government development policies have made Chapel Hill's taxes on residences the highest percentage in the state, and commercial taxes the lowest. Orange County exports more retail spending to other counties than any county in the region. In a WCHL News special, Jim Hebner interviews Roger Perry, who has recently been more outspoken on these issues. Perry, a Chapel Hillian, is the president of East West Partners Management Company, and since 1983, East West Partners has developed more residential real estate than any company in North Carolina. That includes Meadowmont, Downing Creek, and East 54 here in Chapel Hill. He's now trying to develop Obie Creek, so he's a big player. Perry, a UNC graduate, has also served as chair of the UNC Board of Trustees. And that is also a topic of the special interview. It's a four-part special, and today, with part two, here is Jim Hebner.
Roger Perry, in our first segment, we talked a lot about the fact that Orange County has the, and Chapel Hill has the highest tax rate, I think you said, in North Carolina, and much higher than our neighbors. So when we go to drive across the county line to shop in all of these other places, as a technical matter, have those folks who have wanted to do that, have they come here and been rebuffed, or do they simply not come here in the first place because of a combination of the tax rate is here and what they would perceive the environment to be?
Let me make one correction about that tax rate thing. What makes it the highest in North Carolina is the combination of the county tax rate, the town tax rate, and the school, the extra surcharge for our schools. The actual town of Chapel Hill is about, along with several other places, about the same. But the combination of all of that makes it the highest taxed, makes Chapel Hill citizens the highest taxed folks in the state by a pretty wide margin, actually. But the answer is, Jim, is that it's really a combination of the two things you suggest. Number one, the process to get entitlements and get approvals in order to come to town and to do business in town have been so burdensome and so difficult, expensive, time-consuming over the years that a lot of people who would have created commercial tax base have just said, "Well, there's too much brain damage in that. So we'll just go somewhere else." And then we have kind of previously, and once again, I have great hope for the way this current council is looking at things. You know, we've pretty much said, "Well, go on. We'd just soon not have you." And it really creates quite a conundrum, because what happens is, and if you look at 15501 North today, what happens is all the development goes on our edge. We still have all the traffic. In fact, it's worse because people have to travel further to get to it. And we didn't get any benefit and proffers either in tax base, or when the negotiations would have occurred, we didn't get anything from those people about traffic mitigations or contributions to this or contributions to that. So somebody went out at New Hope Commons saying, "Go out and locate on our periphery, suck out all of our retail expendable dollars, and they don't have to make any contribution back to Chapel Hill." And to me, that's just that's been a pattern that we've seen in town time and time again, and it just to me, it's just kind of tragic that we've lost out on all those opportunities.
We have lots of spending power here, and so it would seem to me then that it is that if you can get into business in Chapel Hill, it seems to me it's a pretty good place, except for the tax rate, it's a pretty good place to be in business, because the town is so fundamentally prosperous and the earned income here, the spendable income is so high. Now, am I missing something there?
No, I don't think you're missing anything there. We have a very affluent community and we have tremendous spending power.
But not enough to make folks want to leap through the hoops to get it. Well, let's talk about whether that...
Well, you know, Jim, it's a combination of the two. It's not just leaping through the hoops. It has been time and time again we have rejected. I mean, for example, at Obie Creek, we have the ability to bring a large retailer to town, and to date the town has not shown the willingness to accept a 100,000-foot plus retailer, but they'll come. They want to be here very much. They'll definitely come.
So the part of what it seems that happens and environments outside this interview, I've said before that I believe that the local governments have a government by plebiscite, which, as opposed to sort of long-term policy, that whoever can pack the town hall with the most loud voices seems to be able to dictate or dominate the discussion when it comes to most of the development. So you have people now who, I guess the neighbors, probably the people who live out in Southern Village, I suppose, who would be the ones most likely to shop there. Is that where you're hearing most of the opposition?
No, it's really not in from Southern Village. We've had almost no opposition from Southern Village. The vast majority of the opposition to Obie Creek are folks who live not in Southern Village and do not live in Chapel Hill. They are folks who live in the neighborhoods that are peripheral to Chapel Hill.
Do you mean Chatham County?
No, they're in Orange County, but they're right. Not inside the city limits. So they're I'm often accused of pushing my position and what have you because of personal interest. Well, you know, maybe, you know, folks who don't live in town and aren't paying town taxes, you know, they perhaps have a different motivation than those who do live in town in terms of how they look at this issue and how they look at this problem. But almost all the opposition to Obie Creek, the most vocal opposition and the most number of folks, have come from folks who don't even live in town.
Well, you were successful in developing Meadowmont. And first of all, how long did it take you to approve that?
The whole process in Meadowmont took over 9 years.
Over 9 years now.
To approve.
So a lot of folks might argue that Meadowmont works as well as it did is that the town constantly improved it through negotiation with you, and that Chapel Hill is as special as it is because of that, and that communities comparable in character to Chapel Hill would demand that same kind of thing. So was the project better because the town took 9 years to approve it?
The project is much better because of the input and help that and the partnership we had with the town to do it. But I think that to say that 9 years was a positive in that process is not true. That's probably as big an issue as anything is the length of time of the conversation. The conversation can really be held in a much shorter and quicker period. But yes, public input and public participation in the design of a project is generally always positive because you flesh out a myriad of viewpoints and interests and perspectives which help you in that. But we have the folks who really in their hearts just as soon not have any new development or new growth use that time as a stalling tactic to hopefully get you to go away. And we just didn't go away. We were kind of dumb and stubborn, and we just didn't go away. So, you know, Meadowmont would be even better had that process taken 3 years instead of nine. We could have gotten all the same information rather than just saying we must wait.
To figure out where we're going, it might be helpful to figure out how we got here, and we're going to talk about that, and then a possible new issue that surfaced last week when the town of Chapel Hill began to discuss the prospect that they may raise the property taxes by yet another cent. We'll talk about that with Roger Perry in our next segment.
That is Jim Hebner in a WCHL News special in-depth interview with Roger Perry. The next segment will appear on WCHL tomorrow. The entire interview will be heard this Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Hello, this is Tony Hall of Tony Hall & Associates. I'm thrilled to see the real estate market so lively again. More buyers are buying, more sellers are selling, and we need more listings. If we can assist you, please call today, 919-933-8500, or visit us on the internet, TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. One in five Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. To prevent skin cancer, we urge you to protect yourself from the sun by seeking shade, covering up, and wearing sunscreen. When caught early, skin cancer is highly treatable, so early detection and regular screening is critical. If you're concerned by a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center, 919-401-1994, or visit us online at centralderm.net. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
844 at WCHL. Rather strong commentary from Ryan Thornburg coming up in just a few minutes. He has a few words to say about the North Carolina General Assembly and what he calls their divide and conquer strategy. We also have D.G. Martin's notebook, a page out of that. Zach Godwin joins us now at the Twitter desk. And what are folks tweeting about today, Zach?
Well, I got a cool story about something going on, or that's been going on for about 120 years, actually, in Chapel Hill.
Okay. I've been here doing it all that time.
That's true. You might have been here for the when this started.
Yeah.
And maybe you know about it, and I don't, but apparently in Chapel Hill we have a unique tree. We have a California coastal redwood growing in Chapel Hill, and I never knew about it.
Yes, somewhere near downtown on Franklin Street, I believe.
It's it says located at the bend of Columbia Avenue where the road splits into North Columbia and MLK.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's the home of Bill Massengale, who's kind of moved in and taken over the tree. He said it first caught his curiosity in the 1960s when he was a grad student in Carolina. And he says nobody really knew how it got there. It's just there. It's 120 feet tall. Sorry, it's not 120 years old. It's a little younger. Apparently, it came in 1909 with W.C. Coker, UNC's first botanist, and then President Francis Venable, and one of them apparently just brought back some seeds from California and planted this redwood tree.
That's kind of cool. I've heard about it before from Freddie Kiger with one of his trivia questions. That's the only reason I know, because I didn't know until Freddie told me.
Yeah, I always thought I'd have to go to California to see one of these, and turns out I don't need to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, well, go try
just go down the street.
Driving your car through this one. I don't think it's quite
it's not quite that big yet. but it is pretty impressive.
Well, cool.
And just another crazy thing in Chapel Hill that we have.
I know. It's a unique place, no question about that.
Absolutely.
How do folks get in touch with us if they want to tweet something?
Just at Chapelboro or at WCHL.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ron.
We'll talk to you in a little while. It is 8:46 at WCHL. We have 74 degrees at the beginning of a really hot and muggy day.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
All right, here's some news. Romney's going to run for president. Get used to the idea. Yeah, he's going to run again. But you say Mitt Romney has made it clear that he's not interested in running again. And he's a two-time loser. And too old. And the far-right wing of the Republicans want one of their group to run. Well, all that's maybe. But the super-conservatives in the party learned to live with Romney in 2012. And if they think he has the best chance to win, they'll work for him again. And then who are his competitors? Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Bobby Jindal, Rand Paul, Rick Perry, Marco Rubio, and Paul Ryan. You know, really, of these, only Bush and Christie have the solid mainstream images that could make them attractive to independent and Democratic crossover voters in a general election. The others have strong conservative views that may inspire and mobilize the Republican base. However, those same views may be too far to the right to win over moderate and independent voters in the November election. As for Bush and Christie, their somewhat pragmatic credentials and mainstream views that might make them competitive in a national election turn off the Tea Party and other Republican conservative voters who dominate presidential primary elections in many states. To win Republican primaries and their party's nomination,
Bush and Christie would have to walk the almost impossible tightrope of getting far enough to the right to win the nomination without getting so far to the right as to make it be impossible to win in November. And that's the same tough challenge that Mitt Romney faced in 2012. But he almost, he very nearly pulled it off. And you have to admit, Romney was a solid candidate, one who developed a solid fundraising effort and a national team of loyal, hardworking supporters. He came very close to defeating a well-financed and well-organized campaign of an incumbent president. And, of course, he actually won in North Carolina. Well, many hard-right conservatives who opposed him in the 2012 primaries supported him in the general election. They came to admire and like him. And having demonstrated that he can lead a competitive presidential campaign and win the support of the hard right wing of his party, Romney brings to the Republicans asset that the other possible candidates can only envy. After all of the brutal scrutiny by media and opponents, and looking at all of his possible downsides of his character and personal life, all that's been publicly examined, and you have to confess, he came out pretty clean. All right, well, what about the age factor? And it's true, Romney will be 69 on Election Day. Same as Ronald Reagan was, and same as Hillary Clinton. You know, 70 is the new 50, which is how old Romney looks on a bad day. Well, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Republicans pass him by. But if I were a Republican, I'd be right there helping others persuade him to run again. This is D.G. Martin.
74 degrees, 850 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Brian Thornburg. I don't know about you, but I'm getting awfully concerned for our excellent public school teachers here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. Their salaries, not that big to begin with, have been frozen for years, even though property taxes and the cost of living have soared. They seem to be under financial siege by our state legislature. But the latest proposal from our General Assembly is a real head-scratcher. The leaders of our legislature announced, loud and proud, a budget plan that provided for what they called huge increases in teacher pay. It's Senate Bill 744, and it does call for an 11% raise, but when the details of the plan were released, we find that the increase would come from releasing thousands of our teaching assistants who are critical in the classrooms of our youngest students. So while our GA leaders are crowing about how they're champions of education, all they really did was try to address one glaring problem by creating another one and sincerely hoping no one would notice the new problem. Not only is this questionable governing, it's just mean. Pitting folks against each other within the same shrinking slice of budget is bad enough, but there were other revelations from the budget plan that are just as strange. Senate Bill 744 would require teachers to voluntarily give up their hard-earned tenure in order to get the modest raise. Those who don't want to lose that small semblance of security they have in a vulnerable profession would have their salary flatlined for the future. People around the country and around the world are watching us. Other states are luring our best teachers away with better salaries, teaching assistants, and tenure. Families are choosing not to stay because they want quality education for their kids. And businesses are having second thoughts. They know that potential employees will not work for them if the living standards are poor. Our GA leaders seem to be more concerned with a divide and conquer game rather than truly doing what's right. This recent quote from Speaker of the House Tom Tillis may tell you what the leaders are thinking. And he said, "What I see from the folks who are opposing our agenda is whining coming from losers." Yep, that's the same Tom Tillis who would like to be your U.S. Senator. If he's talking about winners and losers, then you know it's all a game to them. This is Brian Thornburg.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What would you do without her? Do you ever stop and think about that? You've had so many years together, it's like she's woven into your soul, into your very being. Sometimes you can't tell who is you and who is her. You're together in a way that only happens with years of loving each other. She's such a part of you now that the idea of life without her just doesn't make sense. What would you do without her? That's something you never want to find out. I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. This anniversary, love her with the gift that tells her with a big exclamation point that life with her is the only thing you want. A diamond set in a pendant or earrings or that bigger diamond in her engagement ring. And when you hand her that little box, you say to her, "What would I do without you, honey?" And when she opens it, you tell her, "I never want to find out." Grimble Jewelers, because your life together is the only life you want. Grimble Jewelers, corner of Franklin and Elliott, Chapel Hill. GrimbleJewelers.com.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee. But we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste break guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
All day and all night. This is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
Did you remember the word of the day? Did not come from Wayne Pond today, but from Rand Northam. What is the word? Rather unusual word, I'll say. How do you spell it, and what does it mean? You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? And you can call me right now at 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Pat Flynn is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. She was nominated by Beth Posner. Beth, why is Pat Flynn so special?
Pat has been teaching in the school district since 1998, and she's retiring this year after that amount of time and what I understand is 35 years of teaching. From a personal level, she was the kindergarten teacher for all three of my daughters, who are now in 5th, 7th, and 10th grade. So she was special to me and my family, and I think so many other families who had children at Mary Scroggs Elementary School hadn't had her for kindergarten. She's really an unusual combination of creativity and caring and engagement with family and children. She was so great with us and my family as first-time parents sending their kids to kindergarten. She taught our kids how to read, really tried to get into your child's head in a way that we've had lots of great teachers, but her attempt to get into your child's head and to understand what's motivated your child was remarkable. Still the love of reading and learning for all three of my children who were so different from one another, and I think in all of the kids came through her classroom who are so diverse and unique. She was always looking to have a very diverse classroom, always interested in having kids who spoke other languages and having ESL kids in her classroom and learning about other cultures and what's going on in people's homes and their families, where a child was really coming from. She's quirky, some might say eccentric.
You mean that in a good way, I'm sure.
I mean that in a wonderful way. I mean, in this period of time when everything seems so cookie cutter and there are so many tests and standards, she is pretty remarkable. She marches to her own drummer, for sure, and the kids love her for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Pat Flynn is obviously a wonderful educator and just a great example of some outstanding educators we have right here in our community. And Beth Posner, I appreciate you telling me all about her. I know that she's appreciated by a lot of people. In fact, they even had a big retirement party for her last night at Southern Community Park.
That's right. So that's been organized by current families who love her and appreciate her. And it ties to her that so many of her former families have come out to pay tribute to her. But yes, an enormous blowout for Pat Flynn, who everyone, the kids who are in kindergarten now, the kids who are, I guess if she started in high school, probably graduated or graduating from high school, have loved for so many years.
She's been teaching for 35 years, 16 right here in the Chapel Hill Carborough District, and she certainly deserves a big celebration. And Beth, we appreciate your telling us about Pat Flynn, another great teacher, and a WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
All right, it's 8:58 at WCHL, and our word of the day today is Himmy Dimmy Simmy Quaver. I'm not making this up. H-E-M-I-D-E-M-I-S-E-M-I-Q-U-A-V-E-R. hemi-demi-semi-quaver. It means a 1/64th note. And that word from Rand Northam, who has kind of a musical background. Marion Cranford of Carborough called in with the word of the day, and Marion's going to get a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech, online at durhamtech.edu.
Glass Half Full brings you a look at the weather. It is 74 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 73 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. Partly sunny today, showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon hours. Our high today in the low 90s, hot, muggy day, 60% chance of rain. That will continue through tonight with the overnight low around 68. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Muggy again with a high in the middle 80s, not quite as hot. Glass Half Full is the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough. And the beautiful garden patio is now open for outdoor dining, good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too. Hey, gotta go. See you on the radio. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapane. Obituaries for the Tea Party may have been premature. After a string of setbacks at the hands of establishment Republicans in earlier primaries, a Tea Party challenger in Virginia has pulled off a major upset, beating House Republican leader Eric Cantor.
It's disappointing, sure.
College economics professor David Bratt took a strong position against immigration reform and rode it to victory. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
This is simply unprecedented in modern political history. Eric Cantor was considered a shoo-in. He is the second most powerful Republican in the House. He had all the name recognition. He outspent his opponent 40-1 and still lost.